John Ritchie played for John Gruden, so we definitely want his take on Chucky back on the sidelines, and he joins us here for a couple minutes on this Friday. What's up, John?
Hey, guys.
Boy, you sound really upbeat. What's going on today?
I am thrilled that we've got the best weekend of the year for football coming up.
I like it.
But I'm schlepping children about to soccer practices and basketball. So, you know, I get the good with the bad tonight.
No, that's all the good. That's all the good.
Is not thrilling, but the games are, and I can't wait.
I love the segue, but I'm not ready to go to football yet. You have, what, two daughters and a son?
Yes. Whoa.
Well, I looked on your Twitter page. If I misidentified one of them, that was going to be a freaking disaster. You're like, I have three girls. I'm like, oops.
Yeah, son and two girls.
Who's the best athlete?
Struck me as odd that you knew that. The 7-year-old girl.
Really?
Yeah. She's a stud. And she's the one who wants to go outside and throw the football and hit people, which is, you know, it's just not appropriate for her to have that aggression. But she sort of takes it out in the soccer realm right now, and it's fun to watch. She can dominate.
How old your son?
He's 12.
Do you
about to be 13 here in about a week?
Do you tell the son or just scream at him that your 7-year-old daughter is better than him?
No. Well, we focus on school. You know, okay. School's what matters first, and you know, it's important to do a sport or two. And pick what you like, and once you commit, you're gonna keep it up. But school's the biggest deal.
So we are fascinated by your background, playing football, and what you did in 2016. John Ritchie is with us, former fullback in the National Football League. What is worse, dealing with guys like Gruden, getting ready for the battle every Sunday or Saturday in college football, or going through a political race?
Well, my lord, the politics is horrendous. Nothing is worse. Nothing is faker. Nothing is shallower. Nothing is more bastardized either. And I was shocked at just how far from the reality, the expectations of our forefathers we have grown. So I tried to do something about it, but I didn't have, you know, the kind of luchy necessary to buy my way in, which is something that seems to be a prerequisite these days.
Well, we should mention you ran for state senate Pennsylvania, right? And how much, you know, you're kind of getting to it there, but how much did it kind of turn you off to the process of you want to do something good, and then
right.
You realize, like, you really obstructed from doing that?
Yeah, exactly. The bad people do it, and it's because they can pay more than the good people, and it was really sickening, and I was very disheartened by the process. It will be a long time, if ever.
Wow.
If I go and try my hand at that again. I do feel like something needs to be done and things need to change, but I can't stand the reality that we're faced with right now. That really, the good people, the you know, honest people, don't have a chance.
Did it make you want to fight and do everything you could to kind of fight that process and do what you can? Or
yeah.
Did you just say, it's too much? I have a family. I have other things to deal with.
No, I mean, I tried. I went and I tried. It was a hardcore campaign. You know, I was going door to door. I think I knocked on 18,000 doors. And we had 10 debates. I mean, it was a huge endeavor. And I put everything into it. And still failed miserably because the other guy just had more dirty money to spend, and now he's owned.
That's crazy. John Ritchie's with a former NFL player. Not to make you sound weak, but you know, in a way, they kind of broke you. They kind of broke you, which shouldn't be the case after you've played for John Gruden. So we've talked to some other folks who've played for John Gruden, and they're like, listen, it's going to be all-encompassing. It's intense. The Raiders of 2018 better be ready. Tell people about your experience with John Gruden. And am I overdoing it? Like, you know, describing it like it's really hard to play for him.
Well, I didn't find it hard to play for him. I love Gru. I really do. And you know, I stay in touch with him now as much as I possibly can, just because, in a strange way, I feel more connected to him than any other coach that I ever, you know, was coached by. And part of that could be because, you know, 4 years as my head coach, the way football tends to work, you don't stick in one place for long enough to have a coach for much longer than that. But I did not appreciate at the time how completely immersed and involved in the process of teaching football that Gru was. It wasn't until I got to Philadelphia that I realized that, hey, you know what? Andy Reid doesn't run the entire offensive install meeting. Oh, wait a second. Andy Reid delegates this stuff. Wait a second. Andy Reid's not out there on the field running the scout team as quarterback trying to get after guys on the field. You know, like, Gru was so obviously intense and tireless and hilarious. You know, wait a second. Andy Reid's not sitting there with the clicker and watching film with the entire offense doing a running commentary, like, stream of consciousness discussion for an hour and a half every morning. It was just very entertaining and enlightening to learn football from John Gruden.
It does seem like that got to be too much for Gruden at some point, though. Now he's, you know, he's had time away. Maybe he's refreshed. Yeah, maybe. But do you think he can adapt to, so that he can be more sustainable now and carry that over a long haul?
I hope. I don't know if it was that it became too much for him. I don't know what happened in when he was in Tampa. You know, I wasn't around for that part. I know that when he was essentially traded from the Raiders in the middle of the night, we were shocked and devastated. I was hurt. You know, like, I didn't want him to go. And I know that he still had a lot left to give us. And that, I guess that was sort of demonstrated by the fact that he beat us the very next year in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, you know, he was successful in that regard. But, no, I think probably when he was hired by Mr. Davis, you know, he's 34 years old, and he knew one speed, and that was full speed ahead. And that was drink, you know, coffee like it's water, and don't sleep because film's more interesting, and never stop learning and achieving within the game, the knowledge of the game. And I think he's just, you know, his fascination with tape and with watching football has only grown, and you know, so his knowledge base is bigger than ever. He is absolutely up to speed with what's going on in today's game as it compared to the game 9 years ago. I've heard people voice, you know, trepidation. Hey, well, you know, has the game passed him by? Are you kidding me? This guy has like a temple to, you know, film in his house. Like, he's got the tape room. You can see it on the QB camp thing. You know, he's down there grinding every day, just loving the X's and O's of the game. And I can't wait to see how he changes the NFL. I think it's time that someone brings back a lot more of the power run game that he favored back in the day. You know, now that defenses are so much smaller and faster and built to stop the pass, I know he's going to just mash some people. I know he's going to bring that back and set that trend. Well, I haven't talked to him about it, but I have a hunch.
That's the voice of John Rich. You can follow him on Twitter at RichieJohn. You've played with John Gruden, who's with the Raiders the first time. What does it mean to you personally to see him back? You know, you kind of mentioned it would hurt to see him go and to leave the Raiders the way he did. Is it kind of nice for you guys to kind of see that redemption of he's coming back now?
I love it. I'm so happy for him. I wanted to be there at the press conference when they announced him on Tuesday, but you know, I doing the radio in Philadelphia, I have, you know, job obligations that I needed to be here. This is a pretty big week for the Eagles, and yeah. You know, so that wasn't feasible. But I'm really happy for him. I'm happy that the timing worked out for him. You know, I think we were all those who played for him. We all knew it was just a matter of time until, you know, his situation with his sons, you know, getting off and doing their own thing, and you know, him seeing them into the next phase of their lives. Once that was complete, I think we all knew he was due back. But it's the coolest thing in the world that he gets to do it with the team that gave him that first big opportunity. And to me, just, you know, what an iconic mix once again. Gru has become something bigger than the Gru that he was back when he was just the youngest coach in the NFL. Gru, now he's grown as Gru into a, you know, a very highly regarded and revered football mind. And I just I know he's going to tear it up. I'm really happy for the Raiders. I'm really happy for him.
How much did the nasty political campaign prepare you for Philadelphia sports callers?
You know, it's a lot nicer in Philly than politics. Philadelphia is a sweet and happy gumdrop place compared to the lying and deception that goes into a state senate run, at least from my experience. And I'm telling you, Philadelphia is a kinder, gentler place lately. We have an overwhelming film of positivity over this city right now. We seem to really believe that the impossible is possible, the impossible being that this team can win with Nick Foles as their quarterback.
Do you believe that?
I believe they can win this game.
Okay.
And then I'll have to take a look at it after that. Nick Foles has looked really marginal and afraid for the last five quarters that he's played. And, you know, that confidence issue, you know, there's a reason that Bruce Arians always said, no risk it, no biscuit. You know, you've got to take some chances and push the ball downfield if you're an NFL quarterback. And he has not done that. And he's going to have to. He's going to have to make some plays tomorrow. And if he doesn't, this defense is still really awesome and potentially could win this thing for the Eagles. But I think a solid run game, I think Nick Foles taking a few downfield shots with success, and the nastiest D-line around, I think that the Eagles are in good shape for this week.
You believe players are actually aware of the betting line thing? I mean, I've seen it written everywhere, but do the Eagles players actually know they're a dog and they're using that as motivation?
I didn't. I never knew any of that stuff. I never paid any attention to it. But I talked to a couple guys this week, and it's been blown so far out of proportion here that the players do talk about it. And, you know, they have TVs all around that facility where they're, you know, running the news, the all-day 24/7 sports coverage where, you know, it's being talked about. So they're aware, and they know that they have a much smaller margin for error without Carson Wentz, who probably would have been the MVP of the NFL this year had he not been hurt. Nick Foles is nowhere near as good, and Nick Foles is not making something out of nothing like Carson Wentz did. So everyone else has to really raise their level of play and their level of expectations of one another. I don't think they it's not a bad thing that they know.
Last minute, because I know you're on daddy duty, John Ritchie's with us. You're doing work for WIP. You did work with Artie Lang. What was that like? What was it like coming in and doing, you know, basically a daily radio show with a guy like Artie?
It was an awesome gig, man. I mean, Artie is, he's such a good-hearted person. You know, he's had his struggles with, you know, a variety of things that you never really feel when you're with him, because
really?
He really makes you happy. He really is a truly hilarious person. And I laughed so hard. I mean, I got abs. I'm fat. I got abs from doing that show, just from laughing so hard every day. He would show up just a couple minutes before the show. You know, I would show up and read all the news of the day and
right.
and prep, and then I'd get there and he'd just launch into whatever he wanted to, and it was always hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, you know, when you looked across, you're like, okay, is he right today? Like, is he whacked? Because, I mean, I don't know that you're ever going to work with a guy like that. Like, I'll tell you, you don't know who I am. But 20 years ago, when I first got my chance on the air, I actually got to fill in for a guy named Wild Bill. He basically drugged himself out of the business. And I don't know, he was like, he woke up naked at a hospital, you know, on the other side of Vegas. And it was like, hey, go ahead, Cofield, you get your chance. Like,
wow.
I wasn't wishing ill on him. Yeah, I mean, he was a lunatic. He loved drugs. I just wonder how many times you come in where you're like, man, is Artie okay tonight? But he sounds like the rare guy who, whether he's completely sober or whacked, he's going to be still borderline brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, he has to be. I never saw him out of it to where I didn't find him hilarious. He's just a really sharp guy, and you know, and he really is a good person. You know, he wants to do right by everyone, and I felt I was really lucky to be able to, you know, sit next to him for, it wasn't long enough, I mean, a little over a year. And I worry about him now. I hope only the best for him. And, you know, I'll send him texts every once in a while. And I miss him. I really do.
Good deal, John. We appreciate it. Sorry to interrupt the moving the kid. I don't want to say schlepping, you know. I don't want to say schlepping. It's a negative connotation. You got lovely kids. And by the way, the reason, like we said, we knew about the kids is we looked on your Twitter page. And it's, as Chrissy said, it's like a JCPenney catalog on the top there. Just lovely.
Ah, nice.
Lovely.
Yeah,
stuff.
Check out the one. Check out the 7-year-old daughter is spitting a massive line of like Gatorade or something. In the JCPenney picture. That's what makes that one so funny.
We'll get a video
it
up there of her.
So idyllic, and then there's Mila just like launching a massive Gatorade movie.
You said it was Mila?
Yeah, Mila.
Hey, get a video up there of Mila just mauling some poor 7-year-old you know, little chick soccer player. Just intimidating everybody. Let's do it.
I know. I will see what I can do about that.
John, we appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Steven. See you.
There you go.
Thanks, man.
John Ritchie.